Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
The fellas are out today. I'm Luke Morrow alongside Brandon Scott. Here on In the Loop, Figgy Fig on the Steel Wheels, and we're still going to go around the NFL. You can always join the conversation. Text the show, 713-572-4610. So many good answers continue to roll in on what's overhyped, including cruises, In-N-Out Burger, which I totally agree with. Someone said the Super Bowl's become overhyped. LeBron James's nonsense the other day, overhyped, so on and so forth.
I like cruises, man.
Really?
I agree. At least I can understand where people are coming from about them being overhyped. But all I'm saying is I've never gone on a cruise and had a bad time, you know, like maybe who knows how if it was, you know, overpriced or too expensive. Honestly, the Carnival cruises, for the most part, have been reasonable for me. Those are the only ones that I've actually been on.
Yeah.
But, man, I've never gone and had a bad time. Now, I haven't been on one post-COVID. All the ones I've been on were pre-COVID.
Me too. Yeah.
And once COVID hit, and we started getting kind of different about germs and all that, I did kind of think back and be like, man, we used to stand real close to each other and it was super unsanitary on some of those cruises. But, you know, live a little bit.
Yeah. You did mention LeBron James and that that thing he pulled with Hennessy.
Yeah.
I do kind of feel like Hennessy might be a little overhyped to me, man.
Ah, not a bad one.
Yeah, that might be a little overhyped.
Not a bad one. I much more prefer Crown. And some people might even say that that's overhyped,
yeah.
You know, and it's a different drink. But, like, nah, if you got Hennessy, I imagine you got Crown. So just give me that.
Yeah, I'm good with rolling with Crown, man.
Yeah.
It's cheaper.
Yeah. Crown should be the way that Hennessy is talked about. I agree with that.
Let's go around the NFL. Keep sending those in, by the way.
You're about to piss a lot of black people off with that yeah, one. That was Hennessy.
That was borderline anti-black.
Larry and Staff are about to call in.
Hold on. You got a whole electorate that's upset. A whole voting block.
Let's go. J.J. Watt was on the Pat McAfee show, which we have on the TV right now in the studio. But yesterday, JJ was on the show. He, of course, was on the call this past Sunday for the Texans and the Ravens as well. We have a few different cuts here from JJ from the last couple of days. This first one is him talking about or being asked, are the Texans really good or are the Ravens really that bad? Here was JJ's answer.
Combo of both, for sure. I've played in that stadium a few times. Texans, that's their first ever win there. So I've never won there. And anybody who's played there knows, like, the Ravens, that place, it's just you expect to go in there and have a violent, physical, tough football game where the offense is going to hit you in the mouth. The defense is going to play strong ball. The crowd's going to be good. And I was saying in our pregame a little bit, even day games kind of feel like night games there just because of the black and the purple and the defense and just the aura of the place. And this game was none of that. This game, after about halftime, maybe a little later, but not even, felt like a preseason game. And the fourth quarter really felt like a preseason game. And it's just, the Ravens are depleted on injuries. There is zero question about that. They have a ton of injuries all over. I think almost half of their salary cap was on the bench for this game. But Kyle Van Noy said himself, look at the 49ers. They have a bunch of injuries. They don't complain. You got to find a way in this league. And it was a very, very poor product, unfortunately. And for them, crazy. They're still the favorite, betting favorite to win the AFC North, but they got to figure it out quickly here. The bye week next week is going to be massive for them.
Yo, that is spot on analysis from J.J. Watt. I have nothing to add. He did a really good job there of summing up, and he was even able to draw up from his personal experience, which I obviously cannot relate to. But the whole, it feels like a night game, even in a day game there, normally when you play there, versus in this game against the Texans, it felt like a preseason game by the end of the third quarter or midway through the third quarter. I hadn't thought about it that way, but I could definitely see that. That was really good analysis from JJ.
Yeah, it was. And I said it after the game on Sunday. I really liked him. That was the first time I listened to him from start to finish on the call of a game, and I thought he did a really good job, especially for a guy that's so new to it. Because I think Romo's terrible. I think Brady's not that great. Drew Brees was terrible when he first entered the booth and exited after 1 year. Same with Jason Witten. I think JJ's pretty good at this whole thing.
Yeah, no, JJ's going to be good. He's going to be, like, I'm not putting him in the Greg Olsen category yet.
No, I agree.
But I could see him on that sort of trajectory. Like, he's just too early on in it, especially the in the booth calling. Like, he's only done a few games. It's, you know, it's his first season doing it. We're only four games through the season. But, like, by the end of the year or by next year with some practice or some reps at this, I could definitely see him being on a higher end of in-game analysts right there with a Greg Olsen or a Troy Aikman or any of those guys.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a little bit of a natural to this whole thing. Here was more JJ from yesterday with McAfee when they asked him your opinion on the state of the AFC South, which right now is looking like the best division in the AFC. Here's what Watt said.
I think the AFC South, with the Texans starting to figure it out, but I mean, I don't think there's many people outside of Jacksonville or Indianapolis who saw it going this way, this well, this early. With Liam Cohen coming into Jacksonville and being able to turn it around so quickly, massive win against Kansas City. And it's one of those things where I said it to somebody yesterday, confidence is a crazy mistress. You start to figure it out. You start to believe in yourselves. Some of these plays that used to be a comedy of errors turn around and turn into a positive for you as an organization. And the more that belief grows, the more that confidence grows, all of a sudden everybody starts playing a little bit better. The ball starts bouncing your way. 99-yard pick sixes are on your terms instead of the other team's terms. So the Colts really crushing it right now. I mean, you turn on that game halfway through it, we flipped on the score and like, wow, crushing the Raiders. So I'm looking forward. I might have a chance here in the near future to check out a Colts game, and I would really enjoy that because I want to see what they're all about and how they're doing. And then the Texans. Texans start to figure it out. Titans kind of gifted a win there. So they're in the W column. AFC South.
Yo, this is the thing that has me worried and has me concerned about the Texans. It's not so much the Texans who are playing better now, and you got to be encouraged by what you've seen. Even if it's against downgraded opponents, the Titans being what they are and the Ravens being a shell of themselves this past week. But it's more of the keeping the eyes, not keeping the eyes on your own paper and looking at what's going on with your neighbors and what's happening next to you. The Colts and the Jaguars, who I don't want to take seriously, but I kind of have to because they're 4-1 and just beat the Chiefs on Monday Night Football. And it was a pretty gritty win. They seem like a team that's just like figuring it out, like figuring out ways to win. That is my concern, that we look up, and of course, just early on, they're, you know, 5 weeks through, they're 4-1. But we look up in a few weeks, and this is not a drill. They're 8-3 or 7-2 or whatever it is, that being the Colts or the Jaguars, and we got to start really taking them seriously. Like, I'm already concerned, what if the Texans have to run the table from here in the division because they're just not able to afford losses to any of these teams. Certainly not the Jaguars, who they've already lost to. Not the Titans, who's a bad team. And then there are the Colts there that they got two games against, who look like a legitimate team.
Yeah, for sure. We were talking about after the Monday night game of who to root for, the Chiefs or the Jaguars, for the sake of the Texans. And you have two teams to overcome in the division. But right now, like, the Texans are one game out of a playoff spot. They're right behind the Patriots. So it might get to a point where the easier path is just simply being a wild card team and holding serve there instead of trying to climb over both the Jaguars and the Colts just to win the division and play that catch up.
Yeah, the issue with that, because I think the math might dictate exactly what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
The issue from a comfort standpoint, you know, just having followed the Texans forever, they don't do that. Like the AFC South, to be fair, doesn't do that. Like the idea that the AFC South is the best team or the best division in football or anywhere close to it, right? Even the best division in the AFC seems a little wild. Like you feel like those wild cards normally come out of the North or the West or the East, but certainly not out of the South. And so you just don't love that path as much because it feels like the AFC South participant in the postseason normally it feels like is the division winner. It's not to say that they never get a wild card, but it just feels like a shakier path.
Yeah, and in that scenario I just laid out, that would mean potentially three teams from the division make the playoffs. So not only get one wild card, but get two wild cards in this scenario.
Yeah.
And the top three teams all go to the postseason. Here is J.J. Watt from over the weekend. But CBS just put this clip out. They asked him what his favorite sack was from his career. Here's what JJ had to say.
Of all your sacks, which one sticks with you as your favorite?
Oh, that's good.
Mettenberger's selfie.
That's good. That's a good one. That's a good one.
Rodgers' belt throw.
No, that was a dumb one. Because he went and threw six touchdowns after that. So don't get Rodgers. I'll go. So one, I had Josh Allen in the playoffs against the Bills. It was in the third quarter. We were losing, and it was third down. Knocked him back. I don't know, out of field goal range or not, but kind of sparked the momentum that led us to win a playoff game, which was huge. And then another one, we were playing the Jaguars last game of the season to get my 20 and a half sack on the year to be the only person to do it twice. I sacked Blake Bortles in the end zone for a safety. That felt good. Spin move. Yeah, it's great. Gosh, I miss sacking people.
Yeah, that's good. So a couple of the ones that he mentioned, the Zach Mettenberger one, I actually liked that one at the time and would have had it as a contender if he didn't if everything around it didn't feel as kind of corny and lame. Like there was a lot of trash talk. I'm trying to remember if it was him or if it was Andy Dalton who he said something like a Red Ryder Red Rifle BB gun or something like that. It was really weird, some of the trash talk that went on with that I didn't love as much. I thought the one that he mentioned on Josh Allen in the playoffs would be mine if I had to pick one. And for a number of reasons, obviously for the reasons that he laid out what it meant for them in the game and helping win a playoff game. But just the fact that he came back and played that game, rewind back to 2019, this dude tore his pec midway through the season.
Was that the game he was – was that the same?
Yeah, that was the same season.
Yeah, he came back. Yeah, that
came
was crazy.
Came back from the torn pec, did so early, you know, and to me was just – a hell of a performance and a hell of a like a gutsy thing to do to come back and be ready to impact the game and a playoff game at that at home after tearing your pec, you know, eight games into the season. I thought that was really impressive by him.
Yeah, those were good ones he listed. I just like the funny one with the Aaron Rodgers where he said that was dumb. He threw six touchdowns.
But you still sacked Aaron Rodgers. I mean, you know, like you the one that motivated him to, you know, kind of up the ante a little bit.
Yeah.
Poke the bear. I probably don't love that.
While we're playing audio, let's get to this. I know we've been talking all week about the Jonathan Gannon thing. He got fined. We debated it yesterday. This audio stood out, though. This was TJ Houshmandzadeh, former NFL wide receiver. And this was on Manuel Acho's podcast, I believe. Here was TJ Houshmandzadeh, his take on the Gannon situation.
A coach would never do that to me.
Why you say that?
I'm knocking him out on the sideline. I promise you.
Oh, wow.
And every coach I've had, they know that. They know that. He wouldn't do that to me. He wouldn't do that to me.
You're knocking him out.
I promise you. And they know that. They not. And I'm not like I'm a tough guy. You're just not going to disrespect me like that. Because if I do that to you on the sideline, I get cut.
Mm-hmm.
We know that. I got a son at home. What you think he going to say when he see this? Mm-hmm. I might argue with my wife. And I raised my voice. She liable to be like, oh, you want to raise your voice at me, but you let that man hit you like that? You ain't. I'm a man first.
Hey, points made. Like, especially, like, I don't know about the hitting the guy and all of that, but the point that he made there at the end of, like, this is just me personalizing it a little bit as a head of household, you know, somebody that been married, kids and all of that. Like, it's hard to be, like, emasculated publicly and then go to the home where you're supposed to be the leader, you know, and it just, the vibes is off. Now they're still gonna more than likely treat you like the leader. That's definitely someone who has experienced that before, where it's like, oh, you didn't yell at them like that, like you yelling at me, keep that same energy type of stuff. But yeah, I get that. You don't want to, just for appearance's sake, you don't want to have somebody showing you up in that way just as a man. I get that. So yeah, I can see this. Now I'm not laying them out, but I feel like I'm making it very clear from the start. Hopefully everything that I give off is that ain't how you gonna handle me. You know, so like you just don't do that to begin with, hopefully.
Yeah, from the beginning, right?
Yeah.
I actually really like TJ Houshmandzadeh. I think he's really good as like an analyst and I like his opinions. I don't know. I thought this was actually pretty ridiculous what he laid out there.
Yeah, I'm not hitting
the coach.
I'm not hitting the coach.
Yeah.
All right.
I thought it was a lot of like whataboutism type of deal.
Yeah.
And there's a hierarchy. Look, I'm not saying coaches should hit athletes, but what Jonathan Gannon did from what I've seen was very tepid or very mild. He didn't go over there and choke him or punch him or anything. From what I saw, it kind of like, hit the chest or hit his arm. I think it's getting blown up to the point of relating it to arguments with your wife and she would use that against you and your kid. I don't know.
I think too many people are leaning, and even to the punishment and everything like that, there's been too much made of the physical contact.
I think so.
Like, I think that's kind of a thing that happens a little bit in sports, and obviously TJ Houshmandzadeh would know better than I do, but I think way too much has been made of that and not enough of just the whole humiliation of it all, like just not handling the moment. Aside from the love tap or whatever, just that's not how you want to. One grown man wants to handle another one in public. So I do understand that part of it.
We have to run, but last thing here on around the NFL, the Jaguars pulled off a trade this morning with the Browns, trading a cornerback Tyson Campbell and a 7th round pick for Greg Newsom and a 6th round pick. So swapping cornerbacks and swapping late draft picks in 2026. So the Jaguars made that trade this morning with the Cleveland Browns. That's around the NFL. When we come back, we'll be joined by ND Kalu. Talk some Texans football next. It's In the Loop.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Fellows are out today. I'm Luke Morrow alongside Brandon Scott, Figgy Fig on the steel wheels. Appreciate you hanging with us here on this Thursday. You can always text the show 713-572-4610 to join the conversation. And while the typical guys, Reggie and John, are out today, Nonetheless, still joining us as he does at this time each and every Thursday on In the Loop, his former Houston Texan, ND Kalu. ND, appreciate you joining us. Let me jump right into it with the start with a million-dollar question. As a former player watching these last couple of weeks, you know, we've all been wondering as non-players just watching the Texans, how much of the last 2 weeks is the Texans turning a corner and how much of it is the competition? If you were to try to weigh that, what would you say? How much of this has been the Texans the last 2 weeks? How much of it is the Ravens and Titans?
All right. First of all, thanks for having me. Appreciate, you know, joining every week. That's a good question. And, you know, the answer is going to be a little bit of both. But I'll still say this. It's the NFL. And I always get a little bit annoyed when people downplay playing against bad teams. Because when it's all said and done, when you talk about the one-on-one battles, you're still going against one of the best athletes in the world. And as bad as the Baltimore Ravens are right now, they beat them the way you would expect a good NFL team to beat a team that's struggling. So I take some positives going into the off week, knowing that you beat a bad team, but you beat them badly. You put up 40 plus points. You took your foot off the gas in the last quarter. You could have put up half a hundred on them when it was all said and done. So, yeah, I don't think any player should be walking around with their head down saying, yeah, we won our last two, but we were playing the Tennessee Titans and the Baltimore Ravens. You were playing in the NFL. You got two wins. You get a chance to get healthy, get some rest, and go on a run because you're going to need it because the AFC South, it ain't like last year. I mean, Jacksonville, the Colts, I mean, those are good NFL teams. So you definitely now have to go on a run.
Yeah, indeed. One of the things that I caution people against is box score watching or leaning a little bit too much into the cliches of this being a bad team or this being an injured team. I try to encourage people to focus on what it looks like, not just that they won the game or that they lost the game, but how did they play? Like even the Jacksonville game from a few weeks ago now, right? They didn't just lose that game. They looked awful. And so I thought it was justifiable for people to be discouraged by that as much as they might be encouraged by what they've seen recently. I want to ask you about the offense because it's not just that they scored a lot of points. It's the way that it's looked to me, the efficiency of it, the fact that they seem to be better in the red. They're getting in the red zone. They're better in the red zone, better on third down. What are you seeing from the Texans offense specifically that makes you encouraged about how they're playing recently?
Oh, first of all, before I answer the question, B. Scott, huge fan of yours. It's a travesty that I don't hear you more because every time I hear you on the radio, I'm like, man, who is this guy? That's a good point. I love the way he said it, his cadence. And then it's like, oh, that's B. Scott. So I say that time again to myself.
I appreciate that.
Not sure why you don't have a regular spot in Houston somewhere, but whatever. We'll move on from that. Just keep up the good work and good things are going to happen. As far as the offense, I see a lot of rhythm that I like. You know, I see consistency where the previous games when they were losing, it felt like it was sputtering along. Like when you watch the offense, not to get too specific and say, well, it's this play call or that play call, it just felt like it was sputtering. But especially going to the fourth quarter of the Tennessee Titan game and all the way through the Baltimore Ravens game, I just saw a smooth flow, consistency of the offensive linemen. They understood who they were blocking and what their assignment was, and you didn't see any ridiculous plays where two linemen were blocking each other and leaving one of the best defensive tackles in the game, you know, free to sack your quarterback. And I just feel like it's gelling. No excuses. The way they started the season was horrible. I don't care if it is a first-year offensive coordinator, but I get the sense that he's getting more confident with his play call and understanding who he has on that offense. And it's only going to get better because typically during the off week, if they still do this, but when I was in Philadelphia for so many years, during the off week, the offensive staff will give the defense their entire, every single play that they ran up to that point. And the defense will say, hey, this is what we're noticing. This is where you're giving away certain cues and vice versa. So if they're doing that during this off week, I'm expecting the offense to even look better as soon as they get off the bye week.
Well, that's interesting because that somewhat answers my next question. I didn't necessarily like the bye week now for two reasons. I'd prefer to have the bye week later in the season where maybe it's a little bit more of a regroup for you know, some guys that are banged up, but then also because of how well the team's been rolling the last 2 weeks, what you just laid out might go against what I just said. So I'll ask you, I mean, do you think this is a good time for the bye week for the Texans? Would you prefer to have it at another point in the season? What would you say?
No, I was with you after that. After the Baltimore game, I'm 100% with you. More from a fan point of view, like, oh man, things are rolling. Let's get right back out on the field and take on the Seattle Seahawks. But as a player, shoot, you'll take a week off anytime you can. Any chance you get, you'll take that week off to regroup. Where I'm trying to convince myself, because like I said, I 100% agreed with you right after the Baltimore game. But what I like now about the off week. You have so many young guys that are going to be counted on. When you look at, Ariante, who I think is going to be a fabulous offensive tackle in this league, you're giving him a chance to kind of reflect, okay, you know what? It's still early in the season. We had a bad start. Let's reflect on what you've done. And you still have time to kind of turn things around. Now with Marks getting more reps, he has a chance to kind of see what's going on early in the season to turn things around. So I do like that it is the bye week is early enough to where you have that extra week to try to change up some things so you could turn it around for the long haul.
Indeed.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The defense is balling, man. Like, I wouldn't say that it's perfect, but it's been pretty damn good. As somebody that has obviously played defense in the NFL, what are you seeing from this Texans defense that impresses you, and how good do you feel like they can be?
Man, these are some dudes right here. Like, these are some guys that when you play defense in the league and you're watching the current players, that's how you want it to play, and that's how it's supposed to be played. And there's never going to be a perfect defense. I mean, the 1985 Chicago Bears, I forget the year, the Ravens with Ray Lewis and all those guys, Ed Reed, you know, as good as they weren't perfect. There's no such thing as a perfect defense. But, man, I mean, this Texan defense, the mentality, the way they run around, they just took on their head coach's mentality. That's how D'Amico played when I played with him. That's how he approached the game. And it's pretty cool to see him rubbing off on every single one of his defensive players. I wouldn't change a thing. There's never going to be a perfect game. There's never going to be a perfect season. But if this defense, my hope is this defense can continue to play at the level they're playing at now for the entire season, and good things have to happen.
Before we let you get out of here, we were playing the audio last segment of J.J. Watt talking about his favorite sack from his career. You had, what, 30 sacks in your career? Is there one that stands out, your favorite sack from your playing days?
You know what? That's funny that I've never really thought about it. Probably it was more so a game. When I was in Philly, Donovan McNabb got hurt, and he was down for like 4 weeks. And at that year, y'all are probably too young, but the Rams were considered the greatest show on turf. So they were coming to town. They didn't expect us to do anything against them. We had a backup quarterback, Kurt Warner, all their Hall of Fame, Marshall Faulk, you know, all their Hall of Fame receivers were on that team. And I believe we beat them 14-3, or it was a low scoring game. I had three sacks. So all those sacks against Kurt Warner, they still have a special place in my heart.
Absolutely.
Oh, man, that is big. A three-sack game, is that the got to be the most that you had in the game, or did you have another one like that?
No, other than that, I had a couple of two-sack games. That's why I'm amazed. Yeah, and I was mainly a role player. I started like three out of my 12 years. But that's why I have so much respect for the J.J. Watts of the world. Like, that was my highlight game of my career. And guys like J.J. Watt, they do that every other week. And I'm like, how do these fools like have that kind of consistency? So nothing but respect for the J.J. Watts of the world. I expect that from Will Anderson. And obviously we're seeing it with Danielle Hunter on the other side.
Yeah.
Hey, well, look, I know we're trying to get Indy out of here, but I do want to ask, since he mentioned the AFC South earlier, let me just ask you simply, Indy, worried about the AFC South at all? The Texans' place in it, the fact that these AFC South teams at the top seem to be a little bit more legitimate than we might have given them credit going in? Are you worried at all about the division?
Oh, you'd have to be an idiot not to be. A sports idiot. I don't want to take any shots at anybody who's called in and said maybe they're not, but you'd have to be idiotic not to be concerned. If your goal is still for the Houston Texans to win the AFC South and make a run in the playoffs, which is my goal, as a Texan supporter, fan, you have to be worried, especially if you saw Jacksonville against Kansas City. Like, it wasn't just about the fluke plays. Like, they looked good. Like, that was a good-looking football team. So, absolutely.
By the way, you mentioned that Ravens defense. It was 2000, but your Washington at the time Redskins won 10-3. You out-defensed the one of the best defenses of all time.
Look at you.
You know what? And that year, I can't remember if that was the year we won the division, but we it was either year before or year after. We had a bunch of quote-unquote no-names, the guys like myself, but we just all came together and everything worked out. And what was cool about that, Priest Holmes, who was my high school teammate, was on the Baltimore Raven team, and a bunch of our high school coaches from San Antonio came up to that game, and it was pretty cool afterwards to be with a bunch of my high school coaches with Priest Holmes and myself because we just played in the NFL. So, I'm glad you – I appreciate you bringing up that memory.
Yeah, of course. Not to bring up a bad memory tied into that, but that was the year after winning the division. That was the year North Turner got fired.
In Washington. That,
so, but you still had the seventh best defense in the league, so you guys were doing your part.
You did your part, man. Yeah. That's all you got to worry about.
Yeah.
Appreciate
that. Yeah, man. Yo, 111. That's all you got to worry about.
That's right. Andy Kalu, former Texan, joins the show here at this time each and every week. Andy, appreciate the time. Enjoy your Sunday where, you know, you might be able to do a little more things instead of sitting down and watching the Texans.
All right. Well, I appreciate y'all. Y'all keep up the good work.
Appreciate it, Andy.
Yeah, appreciate the time. Where are you as a fan on bye week? I was talking about this yesterday with Lopez because, like, it's one of those things that I dread. Like, oh, man, can't watch the Texans this week. But then you get to the actual Sunday, and it's like, it's kind of nice to have a stress-free day. You just sit back, kick your feet up, get to watch all the games. How do you feel as a fan about bye week?
So I still worry about the team, and I think about, like, burnout. To me, the benefit of the bye week is to avoid or mitigate burnout, and I don't feel like they've played long enough to be burned out. And, like, so you don't want it too late in the season because you don't want to be already burnt out and to miss that opportunity. So somewhere closer to the middle of the season is obviously ideal. Don't want it too early. Don't want it too late. Seems like they've gotten it both over the last couple of years, either too late or too early. So, I definitely prefer it be a little bit later.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Appreciate the time from Andy. Joins the show every week here on Thursdays at 11:20. When we come back, time to get to what's popping, including one team we can all celebrate their season coming to an end last night. We'll do it next. It's In the Loop. That's right. What's popping here on In the Loop? I'm Luke Morrow alongside Brandon Scott filling in for the fellas today. Figgy Fig on the steel wheels. By the way, Football Talk on Sports Radio 610 is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long by visiting ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Moving away from the NFL for a moment, Major League Baseball playoffs going on. And what would you know, the first team to be eliminated from the divisional round happens to be those New York Yankees. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. having a heck of a series for Toronto, and he and David Ortiz were having some fun last night on the post-game show on Fox. Here's how it sounded as they were talking to Vlad Jr. in the clubhouse after the win, and he and Big Poppy dancing on the graves of the Yankees.
Dale, the Yankee lose. The Yankee lose. Let's go, baby. Let's go. Hey, let's do it again. The Yankees lose. The Yankees lose.
Yankees lose. Let's go, baby. But you don't take it personal.
One more. The Yankees lose.
Oh, my God. I don't think there's anything else left to be said. Vlad, you were awesome. We'll see you in the next round. Go enjoy it, all right?
Llámame. Dale, te llamo de una vez. Gracias. Okay. Gusto en verlo. Gracias.
It's entertaining, but it is pretty wild to me that that's happening. Like, it'd be like if, you know, the Cowboys lose in the playoffs and on NFL, you know, the whatever the NBC show afterwards, they're all celebrating and dancing like, Cowboys, their season's over. It just seems interesting that on the national TV partner, you're celebrating a certain team's exit.
They are the baseball Cowboys,
yeah,
pretty much.
I was going to say, yeah. if it's a 49er or a Packer or, you know, a Giant or an Eagle, who had battles with the Cowboys, like known historic battles with the Cowboys, and everybody kind of gets the joke, I feel like it could work. And maybe there is something to the NFL having a little bit more of a buttoned up reputation, but their popularity's not waning, it's only growing. Whereas, like, I feel like baseball is trying to buck the idea that it's stale or boring, that it has personality.
Fair.
And this is leaning into the personality of baseball, not a boring sport. It is one where the guys take things personal, mm-hmm. and these things matter. So, yeah, no, I think that this is good for baseball, even though it is a little peculiar to see, like on the official broadcast, them carrying on this way. There's something affable about Poppy being the one to do it.
By the way, you got some Yankees on that
I think that works for it, too. It's like, okay, these guys are really needling each other.
You got Derek Jeter
You got Derek Jeter right there, the captain himself. So, yep. And then there's something about Poppy's accent when he does something absurd like that. And, you know, and mocking the old school Yankee broadcaster, but with the Poppy accent, there was a charm to that. So, yeah, I think it worked for me as peculiar as it kind of looks.
Yeah. They also had my guy, John Schneider, manager of the Blue Jays, who said, start spreading the news in the clubhouse as they started the champagne. And that's, of course, you know, mocking, I guess you would say, the Yankees playing Sinatra's New York after victories.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, the Yankees, they're that low-hanging fruit that when they do get knocked out, it's easy to mock. I mean, we've been having fun on these airwaves today. Happy to see them go. And as I referenced earlier, they've spent the second most amount of money in Major League Baseball since 2009. They've spent $4 billion, and they have one World Series appearance and no titles to show for it in the last 16 years. So good riddance to the Yankees. Brian Cashman's the most overrated GM in probably the history of all of sports. And you see what happens when they get into the playoffs. Trent Grisham had a career year, and then he hits 138 in the playoffs. And Giancarlo Stanton hits 192 in the playoffs. And Jazz Chisholm hits 182 in the playoffs. They hit home runs. That works over the course of a 162-game season. Typically doesn't work so well in the playoffs, the Yankees are eliminated.
Think of who can relate more to the overhyping of the Yankees or who can self identify with the idea more than like a team like the Blue Jays.
Yeah.
That also spends a lot of money, that has also been competitive, but kind of like the Yankees have struggled to kind of get over the hump and haven't won anything.
They could never get over the Yankees,
Yeah. So for them specifically, this has got to be a real critical moment, not just to advance to the championship series, but to do it against the vaunted and expensive New York Yankees.
For sure. Elsewhere in the playoffs, the Mariners choked their chance to move on for the time being at least, choked it away yesterday. They were up 3-0 in the fifth inning, and if the Mariners won that game, they'd advance. Their bullpen really gave it up. Tigers scored 9 unanswered runs. That's now going to a Game 5 where we have to deal with Skubal in Game 5, who the Mariners have hit well this year, but still, you don't want to have to face potentially the best pitcher in the American League in a decisive game. That'll be Friday night in Seattle. So the Mariners, you get the Yankees lose yesterday. Their season comes to an end, and the Mariners had a chance to advance. They end up losing. Now have to face the Tigers ace in Game 5 with the season on the line.
Yeah, my hot take is that the AL West should have been excluded from the postseason this year. They should have just bypassed them and did something else. The Astros shouldn't have been in it. The Mariners shouldn't have been in it. And certainly there wasn't another candidate that shouldn't have been in it. We could have skipped the whole AL West this go-round if I had anything to say about it.
Well, we'll see if the Mariners can win Game 5 and try to make some noise still here in the AL. Everyone else avoided elimination. Cubs win, so they forced a Game 4. The Phillies won, so they forced a Game 4. As mentioned already, the Tigers won. Yankees, the only team eliminated yesterday. Everyone's having fun at Kyle Tucker's expense for a base-running blunder yesterday. And then Clayton Kershaw got knocked around again. 5 runs in 2 innings for the Dodgers. Clayton Kershaw's career ERA in the regular season is something like 2.6, and then his career ERA in the postseason is like 4.53, something like that. I know this is not a new topic, but it just again, he got knocked around in the playoffs again in his final year. It just feels like he's one of those guys. Aaron Judge is the leader for the biggest drop-off in the history of baseball in OPS from regular season to postseason, and I think Kershaw, 2 current players, is kind of that other guy of the biggest drop-off of a great pitcher in the regular season compared to the postseason.
Yeah, you're not going to catch me having any sympathy for a Dodger, but it is always interesting comparing postseason baseball numbers to, like, regular season. Because, look, if you step it up in the postseason, obviously that's a good thing, and I'm not going to take anything away from that because that's wildly important. But when you go down or when you have – like a drastic dip in performance, I feel bad for the guy a lot of times because the sample size is so small compared to the much larger sample size of the season, which to me is fairer to you, a larger sample size. And maybe you're just going through a rut and at the worst time. And for Clayton Kershaw, he's somebody that does this routinely.
Yeah.
I did think so I live with a Dodgers fan, so I'm kind of plugged into this and paying attention to this. When they said that Kershaw was going to be in the bullpen, I thought this was a good strategy. Like, hey, you got a surplus of starters. The Dodgers bullpen is cheeks. Mm-hmm. It's really bad. So, hey, put Clayton Kershaw in there. It strengthens it a little bit. Kind of like the Rangers from a couple of years ago who had a bad bullpen but had a surplus of starters and were able to use that to kind of help them make their postseason, their World Series run. I thought the Dodgers could do something similar with Clayton Kershaw. And it looks like not so much. It looks like not so much. So I would have been wrong about that in co-signing that move. But I do feel bad for guys who start to struggle in the postseason after being excellent in the regular season or having a reputation of being excellent overall.
Yeah, the text line has compared Kershaw to James Harden.
I was going to say that's a little different because the regular season isn't quite as long. And a basketball player – is playing the game a lot more and is affecting the game a lot more than just a pitcher is on one half of an inning. But I can see that. That's not a terrible comparison.
Well, to your point, in baseball, that's why they say for relievers, ignore the ERA. Like for starting pitchers, it's more about ERA instead of win-loss. For relievers, it's more about win-loss because you're in high leverage situations. Ignore ERA for relievers because one bad outing, some of these guys pitch 45 innings. One bad outing where you give up 6 runs in an inning can screw your ERA for the whole year. So it's similar, too, with the playoffs where it's a much smaller sample size. You have one bad year or one bad series, whatever, it can throw it off. Kershaw has made a lot of postseason starts. The other thing that hurts Kershaw, too, is the one time he did pitch well in the playoffs was COVID, 2020, when there was no one in the building, and I believe they played all those games in L.A., right, didn't they, the NL? Yeah. So, or Arizona and L.A., whatever it was, he got to pitch at home at times. So that's also the other thing hurting him was, like, not only are you bad in the postseason, but then the one time you were good, it was the most unique season ever with no fans. That's the only time you could pitch well in the big moment.
No fans in the stadium and everybody just dealing with a lot more.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, we just had much greater priorities in 2020 at that point. Like, is the world going to end or are we going to be able to see each other again as opposed to what is Clayton Kershaw doing in the postseason? So,
that's fair.
That's not great timing on his part.
Yeah.
For sure.
Rockets move to 2-0 in the preseason. They get a win at home last night. It was Kevin Durant's debut. B. Scott was in the building. What struck you most about that game last night?
Yeah, just how effortless, and it's not to say that they weren't giving effort, but how effortless it looked. Kevin Durant is going to make so many people's job so much easier. And, like, I think everybody's game is going to be elevated. You saw Kevin Durant get 20 in his sleep. You saw Alperen Şengün with double-digit assists as, like, their offensive hub. You saw Amen Thompson downhill, and not just, you know, getting downhill, but, like, just affecting the game in a number of ways, the way that he does. Everybody was doing the things that they do, right? Kevin Durant doing Kevin Durant things, Şengün doing Şengün things, Amen Thompson doing Amen Thompson things. And maybe the revelation of the night was the other two guys that start, the Jabari Smith Juniors and Reed Shepherds of the world, of like, hey, what exactly are they going to be? What's their role going to look like? What does their progression look like? And Reed Shepherd getting to the basket, Jabari Smith Jr. creating shots. Just everybody seems more confident and competent with Kevin Durant in the building.
Last thing here on What's Poppin', Bill Belichick. If you haven't seen this already, Ollie Connolly put this out on Twitter. He does have like 36,000 followers. He said he was previously, his bio says previously a college football and NFL scout and recruiting analyst, now has a newsletter. So I assume this is all legit. In fact, UNC has already had to address these reports today.
Yeah.
But anyways, he put this out last night saying, Bill Belichick has discussed buyout options with UNC's hierarchy. He has signaled a willingness to trigger his own $1 million buyout if he can find a soft landing with another team or in media. Members of Belichick's coaching staff have already spoken to other schools. From one coach, the quote is, "The rats are leaving the ship." Some staffers believe a change will come within 2 weeks. Reports of serious recruiting violations remain under investigation at UNC. Using recruiting violations to knock down a coach's buyout has become standard practice. If Belichick cannot find a landing spot to trigger his own buyout, he's expected to accept a greatly reduced compromised rate. Belichick's communication with the staff the past 2 weeks has been described as weird and distant by multiple members of the coaching staff. Multiple coaches said they were unable to get a hold of him during UNC's bye week. From one UNC defensive coach, they said, quote, "What we've done to these kids is effed up." That's the latest in UNC.
Yeah, allegations of recruiting violations aside, because who doesn't violate whatever the recruiting rules are these days? It does make you feel like something, like the vibes are off, like beyond just being bad, beyond some recruiting violations. You hear them talk about the odd communication and just everything about it just seems like vibes are off. And this thing is like a ticking time bomb.
Seriously, it is a mess, let alone the fact that they keep getting blown out on the field as well. Everything off the field has been a sideshow, a circus, and a disaster. That's what's popping here on In the Loop. When we come back, despite the losing record, I think the Texans are exactly where they need to be right now. We'll talk about that next in the loop.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.